I'm going to ask you to do a little something different here this morning. Think about to yourself, what kind of things do you really love to do in the fall? What kind of things do you just love? It's fall right now. Maybe it's hiking. Maybe it's biking. Maybe it's cooking, painting, like art. Maybe it's the favorite thing in the whole world for you to do is to learn stuff. You just love that. For other people, it might be exploring. And so just think about what things that might be interesting to you. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Everybody stand up. Go ahead. It's a participation Sunday. So everybody stand up. Stand up. Put your stuff down in a chair. Turn around and find somebody that you did not come to church with and just introduce yourself to them. And ask them and tell each other what your favorite fall activity is. What's your favorite fall activity? Just take a minute. Talk about your favorite fall activity. I know. We really didn't need to do that exercise. I know what it was. You just all said, "Oh, my favorite thing is to go to church every Sunday in the fall." That's what it was. So I know I had to do it. You can finish that conversation later on after church. But you got the idea. We all have things that we like to do. And a lot of those things are different than somebody else. So think about this for a moment. We are getting ready to expand our small group ministry here at the church. We're going to be expanding it very significantly. And as we're expanding it, we're going to be giving you opportunities to connect in all different kinds of groups. Now, wouldn't it be great in life if you could get connected to some people that are trying to take their next step, the next step in their spiritual journey? And wouldn't it be great to take the things that you love to do and to do it together with people that are also interested in the same things you love to do, that are also interested in taking their next steps in their spiritual journey? It's kind of a really powerful combination. So this January, we're going to be expanding our small group ministry. We're going to be having groups not just on Wednesday nights, but we'll also have them throughout the week on different days and at different times of those days. We're going to have all kinds of groups. We'll have some Bible-focused groups. We're going to have some leadership formation groups. We're going to have some freedom groups, things like financial freedom or things around life-controlling problems. We'll have groups around marriage. We'll have recreation groups, things like trail running. I will not be part of that group. There will be a hiking, maybe a hiking group or a volleyball group. You get the idea. There's all different kinds of groups and different ways we can do it. So that's the basic sense of it. In order to effectively take the next step in your spiritual journey, we believe strongly that you need to be doing it in community with other people also trying to take their next step. You see, your faith was never meant to be done alone. And if you are one of those people that just stood up there and had a really hard time turning around and talking to somebody because you were nervous or because it's just not like, this is not how you do things normally, okay? Sometimes it's easy just to isolate. Sometimes it's easy to not put yourself into a situation. And so we're trying to help with this is what's going on. We believe strongly that this is the single most important thing for you to do is to do faith in community with other people. Now, there's times in your life when you need to take a season and you need to do a strong study on the Bible. And you just really need to really have a greater understanding. And there's other times in your life when what your biggest need is to be open to having relationships with other people. And so that might be a big need. Other times in life, your season is you need to tackle something that's really challenging in your life. And maybe something has crept into your life and you just need to just knock it out. And so you have seasons of your life, and not everybody's always in the same season at the same time. And that's what we're trying to deal with here. Our first semester of these small groups is going to start in January, and it will be 13 weeks long. We'll give you an opportunity in a few weeks to sign up for different groups. But in order to help us discover the types of groups that you would actually be interested in, we have a form in the bulletin for you to fill out for us today. Basically, we need you to help us help you help us, all right? We really are trying to understand what would be the best. For example, we don't want to offer a fishing group if nobody wants to go fishing, all right? That would make no sense. It's just somebody out there fishing. And so we really want to figure out what are the things you authentically would be interested in. And on the form that is in your bulletin, you're going to take this thing out. There's a whole bunch of ideas, and you can just circle those things, the things that you like. In the bottom right-hand corner, underneath where it says writing, there's a little space. If there's something on here that's not on here that you would love, you write that in right there. Okay? That's what you're going to do. If you are one of those people here today that you're like, Pastor Kurt, I don't care how many times you tell me to go to a small group, I'm never going to go to a small group, no matter what you say, no matter how much you say it's good for me, I'm just not going to do it. You can just put that down there as well. That would be great. All right, that would be excellent as well. So then you can just check off two or three or four preferred times or days of the week when you would be most available to do those things. Okay, that's the general idea. We're going to take 2 minutes to do this. On the back, if you would just fill out all your information, this everybody in the room, please do this. And this is also a great opportunity for us to make sure all your information is updated, okay? So if it's been 3 years since you changed your phone number and you never told us, this would be a good time to let us know, okay? So just put it all in there. And if this is your first time with us today, please fill this out as well, as much as you're comfortable with. We're thrilled that you're here. And this is a little bit unusual for us to do this on a day like Sunday. But on the way out of service, if this is your first time, if you go to the Welcome Center, let us know that it's your first time today. We have a gift for you that we would love for you to have. So we're going to take 2 minutes. The clock starts now. 2 minutes. Go ahead and fill this form out in its entirety. When it's done, you're going to send it to the center aisles. Okay? 2 minutes. Go. There's a group that's not on there, just put it in, make it up. Seconds. You will not be graded on this, don't worry. Seconds. Again, you can be as creative with any groups you want to write in as you like. So we're going to speed it up 30 seconds. Done, you can go ahead and start to pass it down to your neighbor, down to the center aisle. That would be great. Seconds. Five seconds. Ready for the touchdown. There we go. Ready for the touchdown. All right, here we go. We're going to move on. Listen, if that gave you anxiety filling that out, you can just turn it in later if you like, okay? That's totally fine. If you need to, like, make sure you really studied every group option. Those are just ideas, okay? Those are just ideas. And we will be letting you know more in the weeks ahead. And if you have more ideas about types of small groups or really just feel like there's something that you'd be tremendously good at, working towards, talk to Pastor Josh about that as well. At this time, we're going to go ahead and receive the Lord's tithe, your offering, any missionary faith promises. Over the last few weeks, we talked about our legacy fund. This is our ongoing two-year facilities renovation campaign, and we have a couple hundred thousand more dollars that we need to raise for that. And if please continue to give towards that, and if you'd like to let us know how much you'd like to give, you can do that in the offering as well today. So God bless you. Thank you as you give, and let's watch this video together. All right, that's good. All right, good morning again. I'm going to ask you a few questions today, and it's my hope that by the end of the service today that you will recognize that you've been given a great gift. Have you ever worked and worked and worked, and you worked for weeks and weeks, and you didn't even have a single day off for 3 or 4 weeks in a row? It's really exhausting. And have you ever packed your schedule so tight? I mean, so tight. You have no margin in your life. You're just packed your schedule so tight, your work schedule from going from job to job, and you have no room for anything at all in your life to go wrong. I mean, you're on your way to your second job, and the car starts to act up, and it's like the world came to an end. Like, you just have no room to deal with anything that's a problem. Or honestly, sometimes you pack out your life so much that you don't even have time for anything to go right. Like, if something went right, you don't have time to celebrate. You don't have time for a victory. You don't have time for a win. You don't have time for a birthday. You don't have time for anything. You're just out of time. You're living what I call the zombie life. Just living like a zombie. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go. I make some bread, then wind up dead. It's off to work I go. Or as Cage the Elephant says in one of their songs, money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay. I got mouths to feed. Ain't nothing in this world for free. I can't slow down. I can't hold back. Though, you know, I wish I could. Life has a way of moving at warp speed. I mean, warp speed. And there's a common denominator in life and how fast it moves is it's this. It will not stop for you. You can be like, stop moving, life. It won't stop. It will not listen to you. What life will do, though, it will crush you, it will bulldoze right over you, and it will not look back or think twice about what it just did. So learning to manage life is incredibly, incredibly important for everybody. Interestingly enough, God is interested in this, and he decides to teach us about this for the first time in the middle of a desert. I wonder where we're going to find out about this. Well, seeing as that I've spent the last year talking about the book of Exodus, it's a pretty safe bet to guess that it's going to be in Exodus. So last week, Pastor Joshua took you through this moment when God gives manna, this food from heaven, to his people each morning. So they have food to eat while they're on their journey. And we pick up the story, Exodus 16, verse 21. After the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need, and as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest." Somebody say rest. Rest, okay? Complete rest. A holy Sabbath set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So they put some aside until the morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. That's always a good thing with food. Okay? Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather food for the 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day." Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you." Somebody say gift. Yes. Now look at your neighbor, say it's the gift to you. Yeah. This is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick the food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. Now let's talk about this thing called the Sabbath. It's an interesting word that we don't really use a lot. But the idea of the Sabbath is this. It is 1 day set apart each week in that we get one Sabbath day that is different somehow than the other days. Now, historically, the church has chosen to celebrate the Sabbath on Sundays. That's why we have church on Sundays. Some do it on Saturday, but most do it on Sunday. Either way, there's something special about setting aside a day every week as the Sabbath. Not every month, not every year, but every week. The Sabbath day is so important in the Bible that there is a theme throughout the Bible that talks about Sabbath. I could do a 10-part series on the Sabbath, and it wouldn't be enough to cover it. It's so important in God's mind for us that this is one of the first gifts of love that God gives to his people. He gives his people something called the Sabbath. The Sabbath, again, which we celebrate on Sunday, is a gift. And this is the first time in the Bible that we hear from God about the Sabbath. So it's all the way to Exodus 16, 23. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, the holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So you also get the idea there that in order to have an effective Sabbath, you have to be prepared for the Sabbath. You can't just wake up and hope it's a good Sabbath. You have prepared yourself for the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is not an ordinary day. When you read this, you see an interesting word, though. It says, the Lord commanded. Look at your neighbor and said, the Lord commanded. Now, when we hear the word commanded, we don't love it. If I was to stand up here and say, I command you to do this, I command you to do that, you'd all be like, I ain't doing nothing. You can't command. You can't tell me what to do. All right? You know, like the command idea. Woo, no matter how, I'd be like, I command you to make $1,000,000 for yourself. But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't care how good it is for me, I'm not going to do it. There's something within us in our wildly independent spirits that bristle against the idea of being commanded to do anything. Now, I'm going to try to help you reposture or your response to the commands of God. Because remember, this is a gift. He's commanding you to take a gift. Recently, a feature in my car stopped working. Ah, don't you hate it when your car stops working? You know, just like, it's so annoying. So I got out the manual, and I spent some time reading through it, and I discovered that this horrible problem in my car, I soon discovered that the fuse for my front seat warmers was blown. It's horrible, horrible. I mean, both of them, neither of them work. Only my steering wheel warmer works right now. It's the worst. And it's not just the front seat warmers. It's also I don't have front seat air conditioning right now. I mean, it's really bad, really bad. So the manual tells me exactly what to do. It commands me to get a very exact fuse. I have to get the right one. I don't have options. I only have one choice. It commands me to exactly where to replace the fuse. I can't just go around picking which place I want to do it. It commands me how to gain access to the fuse because it's in a really complicated part of the car. And there's no wiggle room on how to do it. There is only one way. But all the commands and all the directions in the manual serve me. They are for my benefit, so I know how to do it. And when God commands us, when the commands of God come, what they are doing is they are revealing the love of God to us. And it is not something that we should bristle up against, but something that we should embrace. And when he first commands the people to adopt a Sabbath day, it is understood as a gift. Verse 29, they must realize the Sabbath day is the Lord's gift to you. Tell your neighbor, it's the gift to you. That's why he gives you a two-day supply of food on the sixth day, so there'll be enough for 2 days. It's a day that's set apart as holy. It is a day of rest. A day when you step back from the warp speed of life. An entire day where you get to breathe. You get to assess. You get to have a day of worship, a day of service, a day of recreation, a day of rebirth. It's a day where we are to sharpen ourselves, where you sharpen the tools that God has given to you. Later on, God will give Moses this top 10 list of commands that are like this. And it's even more clear in Exodus 20. Remember to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. Somebody say ordinary work. Ordinary work. That's an interesting two words. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, daughters, your male, female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. For in the 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. There's four major areas in your life that are desperately in need of a weekly Sabbath. Not a bi-weekly Sabbath, not a monthly Sabbath, not an annual Sabbath, but a weekly Sabbath. Four areas. The first is your mind. Your mind needs time away from the fast-paced world we live in. Your mind needs a break. I don't know if you know this, but Boston has been ranked as the fastest-paced region in America. We live in the fastest-paced region in America. It's so fast-paced that if you travel to the South or the Midwest, you'll be like yelling at people because they don't move fast enough. Come on, people, let's go, let's go. Like it'll give you anxiety how slow people move. My parents came out from the Midwest to visit me a few years ago, and we were at Dunkin' Donuts on an early Saturday morning. They've been in line for 5 minutes, 15 people in front of them, 5 minutes. They still don't know what they want to order when they get up to the front at Dunkin' Donuts. And they want to start talking to the lady behind. They want to know how she's doing. She says, step aside, please. She just said, step aside, please. And she just said, they couldn't believe how rude she was, right? I'm like, Mom, she wasn't being rude. You were just in the way. We got a very, very fast pace of life around here. And our minds need a break from this. Our minds need to very intentionally focus on God and the things of God, because it is only in God that our mind can find true rest. And when we engage in a day that is God-focused, we will experience rest in our mind. We experience recreation within our mind. And perhaps the most challenging area of our lives simply has to do with our thinking, with our mind. Learning to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ is a very challenging area of life. And we've all been in situations where our mind just runs away on us. This is going someplace else that you don't want it to go. And you need to give it some rest. Yet when you use the gift of the Sabbath that God gives you, when you set aside this day, when you set aside this sacred day, this sacred space, and have sacred community, it creates a rhythm in your life that your mind is able to look forward to. It knows Sabbath is coming. It's like a light at the end of the tunnel for your mind every single week. It's always coming. It's coming. It's coming. It gives you hope. A Sabbath day every week, 52 weeks a year, creates a rhythm of positive mental health in your life. It really does. It's a gift to you that God gives us. That's the reason, as is the case with any gift from God, it's the reason the devil comes up with so many distractions to try and get you to break your Sabbath. I mean, so many distractions. The number of things that most of you had to do to be able to get here on a Sunday is huge. So many things that you had to do to be able to carve out just a couple of hours on a Sunday, let alone an entire day. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of distractions, and work distractions that got you, and family distractions, and different weather distractions, and health distractions. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff coming at you to distract you from taking your Sabbath. Why? Why doesn't it happen on Tuesday? Because this is the day that's super important. This is the day that recreates you, refreshes you, replenishes you, repurposes you. And you're thinking to yourself, oh man, this is such a good Sunday to actually be in church. I'm thinking, well, I nailed a Sunday to come to church today. I got my Sabbath in check. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Just because you're here right now does not actually mean you're definitely having a Sabbath. Some of you, guaranteed, right now are thinking, what time is it? What time is it? I got stuff to do. Are we going to be out by 12:30? Are we going to be out by 12? When are we going to be out? When are we going to be out today? I got soccer stuff. I got kids stuff. I got grocery shopping stuff. I got this stuff. I got this. And your mind is really someplace else because you've packed even your Sabbath day up with so much stuff that you can't rest. And so it could also apply to you. Your mind needs a rest. Also your spirit. The reason the Sabbath is important is for your spirit. Our spirit needs space to rest. Our spirit needs place to recreate and replenish as well. One aspect of the Sabbath that is unique is this corporate gathering that we're doing right now with other people on a similar journey towards God, a celebration that we call church. Certainly, you can engage with God on your own. But there are many things you can't do on your own. You simply need a community of people moving forward together. Without worshiping in community, without gathering together with others who are on a journey, without those things, we cannot authentically refresh our spirit the way that God intended. When we gather together, God promises this, to join with us. Sometimes in the week, you're like, God, where are you? You can guarantee he is always with us when we are together. Now, he's always with you, but you really, really need the corporate gathering together. He meets with us in a different way when we are together. It has a way of restoring and replenishing an aspect of our spirit in a very special and unique way. Another area that needs to be sharpened is your body. A Sabbath day gives your body a chance to rest. Notice it said, without all the obligation of ordinary work. Interesting two words that it told, ordinary work. For those of you that have super physically demanding jobs, resting with your body might mean not using your body. I mean, resting actually might mean being on the couch. Okay, resting might mean like taking a load off. Resting just might mean truly physically resting. For those of you, though, that work with your mind, resting your body might mean doing something with your body. Like if you've just been in a chair all week long working with your mind, resting might be doing something recreational. So it will be different for different people. The day set apart allows you to engage even your body in worship and to recognize that even your body has a sacred dimension to it that God is interested in. So that's why it's a gift to us, the Sabbath. And then the fourth thing we'll talk about is relationships. For so many in today's modern world, the Sabbath can be an opportunity weekly to reconnect. It's a day where the most important relationships in your life have an opportunity to get onto the same page with each other. And I don't know if you've noticed this in life, but life moves so fast, it only takes about half a day to get off the same page. Like, I mean, a whole week can go by and you'll be way apart from each other and you can feel it, but you don't know why. But on a Sabbath day, it gives you an opportunity to get back on the same page because it's been set apart. It is your culture that you will always take it. It's an opportunity to enjoy each other, to play, to eat, to worship together, to get right with each other if need be. So there's a lot of benefits in the gift of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about rest, but it's also about trust. You see, it requires us to trust that God will provide. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, four quarts for each person instead of two. God provided. Earlier in the story, we found out that they were only permitted to collect each day's supply of food on the other 5 days a week. Because if they collected too much on the second day, it would turn into maggots and be horribly smelling. And they had to follow this, watch this carefully, they had to follow it exactly. But now they are getting the rest of the instructions on this sixth day of the week, which is a different preparation day, and they get 2 days worth of food. And I want you to not miss this extremely important part of this. This story very much helps us to understand that exact obedience is important. Not just broad obedience, but exact obedience is absolutely critical. It's not just like if doing half of it, or if God says to you, do X, Y, and Z, it's not okay to do W, T, and R. You do X, Y, and Z, you do it in the order he said, and he will come through on the other side. Here's why. Israel is about to enter into a 40-year season where God will provide for them exactly what they need. God's provision will be there. And God's provision and this trust process actually leads them to the climax of each week called the Sabbath day, and that day is set apart. This great day of rest is a gift. However, the day of rest only gets to happen if they trust God. And the benefits to the Sabbath only happen if they trust enough to obey. Trusting and obeying God came with a built-in reward. God's daily provision. When Jesus, now think about Jesus for a minute. When Jesus says what we now call the Lord's Prayer, many of you say it on a regular basis. What he was saying when he said the Lord's Prayer, when he said, give us this day our daily bread, this manna story is what he was talking about. He was getting the idea, the imagery of give us this day our daily bread. He was getting this imagery from manna from heaven provision. That's the exact moment he got it from. Provision every single day. Trusting and obeying God also came with the gift of the Sabbath, the gift of rest from God. It's extremely important. Now, I need you to fast forward. We're out in the desert right now. We're in Exodus. I need you to fast forward about 1,500 years. It's around the year 30. It's the year 30, and Jesus is waking up from an evening sleep. It's on the Sabbath day. And as was his custom, he walked to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scripture. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak and said, "The scripture you have heard has been fulfilled this very day." Now, what day of the week is this happening on? Sabbath. It's happening on the Sabbath day. The people have all gathered together in corporate worship on this Sabbath day. And Jesus shows up on this day, which is a gift, to reveal to us an even greater gift. Jesus announces not only that he is the Messiah, the rescuer, the long-awaited rescuer, but that he, Jesus, is the ultimate Sabbath personified. Jesus is the Sabbath of Sabbaths in a person. Sometime later, when his cousin John was checking in to make sure that Jesus was who he thought he was, this is what Jesus said. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. In other words, I am the great rescuer. I am the long-awaited one. I am the gift from the Father, a gift from God. Remember the gift God gave humanity called the Sabbath? Well, I am the ultimate Sabbath in person, right here, right now, and forever. That's why Jesus continues with this theme of rest in his ministry. Matthew 11, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." As the worship team comes up, remember this. Jesus is our ultimate Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. He is our freedom. Jesus is our hope, and Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our healing. Jesus is our forgiveness. Jesus is our brand new start, and Jesus is the clean slate that we all desperately need. We can lay our burdens down at his feet. Jesus will guide us and give us not a once a week rest, but an everyday rest. A continual rest in Jesus. You see, in Jesus, every day can be Sabbath because he is the Sabbath. So we get two kinds of Sabbaths. We get this one day a week, and we get Jesus. Would you stand with me? It was at a Sabbath gathering that Jesus revealed himself. And I think that's really important. Because Jesus is still revealing himself at Sabbath gatherings. And it was in Jesus that we can all truly experience the greatest of Sabbaths in our life. I'm going to have the worship team lead us into song, and this might be a good time today to reflect and respond, to ask ourselves some honest questions about, are we practicing Sabbath? Are we experiencing rest in our mind, our spirit, our body, our relationships? Are just some things we need to do to open this gift in an even greater way in our life. The altars are open if you'd like to pray.